Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you may move in hearts of people that are here. Father, we realize there is no one that is here by accident this morning. We pray the Holy Spirit might have his way, both in the things that I would say and in the hearts of the hearers here. We pray these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage, I'm only going to be looking at the first three verses. In fact, we're probably just going to cover the first two in Isaiah 55. And Isaiah 55 is a great passage. This morning for each of you, for those who are saved, this will be something that we can cherish. For those who are not saved, I believe you're about to hear the best news that you have ever heard in your life. It's an irresistible invitation that is coming this morning. And the great thing about Isaiah 55, and we'll have a look at it, it says this, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance." There is an invitation this morning here in Isaiah 55 to a banquet. And as you read this, and it invites us to come and eat and to be satisfied with our thirst, but there's an invitation to a banquet. The setting that we're talking about here is 700 years before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've looked at this passage. I've been sick for the last 4 weeks, so I've had plenty of time to sit around and just get a little better. But I've looked at this passage over and over, and there's lots I'd love to say. But simply the setting is, this really relates back to chapter 52. If you want to do your own little study, go back to 52 through 53, and we see all about the crucifixion. Go into 54, and you'll see why William Carey went to India. It's in chapter 54. And it talks about enlarging the tents and adding more rope and etc. So here we are in 55, and there's an invitation. The first thing that captures our attention here in 55 is the word "ho." Now, it's not used very much in the scriptures. I think it's used about three times. And it's to catch our attention. We see here that the one who is the spruiker, or the one in the marketplace that is doing the inviting, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is spoken of in chapter 54 as being the Holy One, the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel. And then when we go into 55, it is the Lord Jesus that says, "Ho, hey, listen to me. I'm trying to get your attention." That's what he's saying. Come to the banquet. And that's what he's saying. And it's for Jews and Gentiles, but it's for you and I this morning. Such a banquet that Jesus speaks of here would normally be by invitation and at a cost to the one that is invited. Because this is a lavish banquet. It is brimming with food. It is lavish. But Jesus says, "Stop, ho." And he says, it's not restricted by age or race, but everyone is welcome. But you know, there's a prerequisite to coming to the banquet this morning. And the prerequisite is that we must thirst. That's what it says. Everyone who thirsts. So he's saying, "Ho, I want the attention of all you guys who are thirsty." That's what he's saying. So everyone who is thirsting is invited into the banquet. Come to the waters. Jesus is speaking of what he offers that will refresh our thirst. Jesus is describing You can go into John 4, and there, as he talked to the woman at the well, he spoke of waters that would well up, with springs of water that would well into eternal life. And he's talking here about that same bubbling and flowing of water that can issue through the work of the Holy Spirit in you and I. Water sustains life. And Jesus here is speaking of living water, a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. But it's talking of abundance, and this is the sort of thing that we can have in our lives as well. Limitless, there's no limit to it. We are perfect in Christ, and it's overflowing. But we're talking here about not just coming and drinking and satisfying our thirst, but coming to the waters. The text, I believe, speaks of two types of people. The first one is someone with no money. The second one, these are pretty obvious things that I state. I'm a simple person. The second one is a person who has lots of money. And I see they're very two distinct. I don't see them as the one group here as I look at it. And Jesus says here, and you have no money, come buy and eat. How can you come buy and eat if you have no money? But Jesus says, come. And what we're talking about here is that Jesus is talking about coming and receiving all that the Lord Jesus did for us on Calvary, on the cross. When Jesus was being scourged and beaten and then crucified, he paid for the debt of sin that we deserved to be beaten for and to be punished for. But Jesus took that penalty, that price for us. My question to you this morning, do we sin because we are sinners, or do we sin because of our sin? Have you thought about that before? Do we sin because we are sinners, or do we sin because of our sin? And the answer is that the moment that we draw breath, we are sinners. We inherit that life from Adam, and we sin because we are sinners. The Bible tells me that the Lord Jesus was so beaten because of my sin that it was not until a number of years ago, not in my early Christian life, that I realized that when Jesus went to the cross, that he did not even look human. Did you realize that? He was beaten and disfigured so much that his form on the cross was not even human. And when I understood that, that just gripped me. I cannot understand all of this, but he did not look human. His death satisfied a God who required payment for sin, payment for your sin and my sin, that we might be redeemed. God knew there needed to be one, and it could only be the Lord Jesus, that would be able to pay the penalty for sin that we could not pay. I want you to imagine now coming home to your house. So I'm talking to each one now. So this is an individual thing. So put your caps on. And you come home to your house. And as you come into your house, the people that you love and care for so much are lying dead on the floor. This is not a good story, I'm sorry. But there is the murderer standing there over those loved ones of yours. And as you come into the house, you capture that person and you overcome them. And you then take them, how, I don't know, but you take them down to the police station. And they're at the station, they're arrested and they're put into jail. And finally, the trial comes around, and they come, the murderer is brought before the judge. Just imagine how you would feel if that was reality. How you would feel with the anger and, I don't know, the feelings that would pass through your body. But in the court, you are once more confronted with that murderer, and he is there. And before the court, and the judge says, I find you guilty, and I'm going to sentence you to life imprisonment, never to be released. You're to be there for the term of your natural life. And the murderer says, but Judge, I never murdered once. I haven't done anything like that since. And I'm really a good person. And the judge says, well, I can see that. I'm going to let you go. How would you feel? You'd be thinking, you're kidding. And you would appeal that to the highest court and you would fight it and you would want to know what's going on with the judgment system and the system of our land. But you know what? That's exactly what God did for you. None of us deserve to go to heaven. I do not deserve to go to heaven. I deserve to go to hell. I'm a wretch as an individual. I hate sin, and I do it all the time. You check with my wife, she'll tell you. But you know what? We are hell deserving, but God in his love and in his mercy and in his grace paid the penalty by Jesus dying on the cross, and he allowed me to be like that one in court, to be gone free, to be set free. And I just praise God for that. We had no legitimate case, but we were condemned to be sent to hell. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. We see there was nothing that we can do. Eternal life is a free gift. And as we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, the children this morning are quoted from John 3:16. John 3:16 this morning speaks to us as well, because it clearly says, for God so loved you, and he loved me. He so loved you that he sent Jesus, that he gave his only begotten son for you, that if you believe in him, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. And I think that's great news this morning. And so why did he do this? It's because this morning we are either spiritually alive to him and the Spirit of God is at work in our lives, or we are dead in sin. In Ephesians 2, you can read it. We are dead in sin and we have no other course, but we are hellbound. But it is by that shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have been redeemed, and we can come and buy without money. Now, the person that comes and buys without money this morning, that person, I believe, is bankrupt. They're broke. They have no money. And so what are we really talking about here? So I'm going to be a little bit hard-hitting. This morning, I looked at some statistics on the net. And these are things I don't like to talk about, and I don't very much. But it may apply to us that are here, some of us. 67% of all men in the US visit pornography sites. 49% of all women in the US visit pornography sites. And even though we come to church on a Sunday, there is every possibility that someone or some people here may also visit these sorts of sites, because we're human, we're flesh and blood. There is a possibility that some of us are here are what I call Sunday Christians. You know, we may come into the car park arguing, and then when we pull the car up, on comes a smile, we hop out of the car, and we come in here, and everything's fine. We could be the same person that Monday through Saturday, we never, my Bible, I do have another Bible back there, but we never pick up a Bible and read it. We don't spend any time in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may be the sort of person that Monday to Saturday has a dirty mouth with our speech, and yet we're not the person that other people think we are. Now, I don't know. Fortunately, I don't know everyone that well. I know some, but So I can talk this way because this is how it is in society and this is how it is sometimes in a Christian environment because we're not always what we appear to be. This morning there may be young boys and girls here, young teenagers that love stories of the Lord Jesus Christ. They hear stories and they might pray to the Lord Jesus as well, pray to God. But you know what? Be it child or be it adult, you know this morning if you know the Lord Jesus personally. I say to people sometimes, you know what, when I give them my $1 million bills, I say, I've got a question for you. You know what, when you go to bed tonight, you've got no guarantee you wake up in the morning. So what comes next? And my challenge this morning too is what comes next for you? Are you confident this morning, 100%, that if you were to die tonight, that you would go to heaven and you could stand before the Lord Jesus and he would welcome you into his company? We need to be sure about these things. And so this morning, we either are saved or you cannot identify with what I'm talking about. But you know, the great thing is that as you are listening to my voice, and if this is making sense to you, the one that is making the sense is not me. The Bible tells me clearly that the Holy Spirit will open his word and reveal truth to your mind. Satan wants to shut our minds off so that we can't understand, but the Holy Spirit gives us understanding of truth. So if you're not saved this morning, but this is making some sense to you, I'm not quite finished, but nearly, then this is God that is talking to you. So it then goes on to say, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. There may be some here this morning that this has been quite extreme, but it could fit. Someone here this morning may have even at some time considered taking their own life. This morning, Jesus, all of those people that I described, all of those, he welcomes you to his banquet. He welcomes you to know eternal life, to come to know him. In John 7 and verse 37, it says this. You can turn there if you wish, but I'm going to read it. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And this is speaking of this new life in Christ. Now, there's a second person here in this passage. This second person is someone who's got money, someone who can pay. Okay? Verse 2 says, why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight in abundance. The second person, I believe, has money, but no Saviour. I've gone and I know that John and different ones door knock and lots of people door knock here, I know that. I've door knocked in places like Kenthurst. And you know where there's lots of money, people don't see any need for a Saviour. They're self-sufficient, but they're wrong. And as I look at this person that has money, I might see that this person has a good car, a nice car, a flash car. And that's okay. You can have all those things. That's okay. They might have a nice house. In fact, they may have a great job. And there could be someone here that is in that same rut of the most important thing to you in life is not the Lord Jesus, but it is lining your pockets. It's your earnings. And it might be that there's a new job coming up, a better job, more money. And you know, the thing that I've discovered is that ultimately where we need to be is in that place where God wants us to be. And I recently retired. I was a sales manager of a, you know, fairly large corporation, global company and all that sort of thing. But you know what? The thing that is most satisfying to me now is being able to share my faith with guys in Bunnings and going into Woolworths and talking to the guy who was the butcher and him telling me, I just went to see my sister and she's dying of cancer and we just had a little chat. And other people. And so I just think it's exciting just being a Christian these days. But to both people who are cashed up and broke, deep inside, we know that there's more. We ask the question, what is life about? I get, I want, but I never get enough. I'm never satisfied. And you know what? God has given us a conscience. And this morning, your conscience may be screaming out because you may have guilt that's there. And our conscience is God-given. And we have no answers for what we do about our sin and that guilt that we have within. Is there an answer? In Isaiah 53 and verse 5, it says this, but he, Jesus, here's the answer. He, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, our sin. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In verse 6 of the chapter in Isaiah 55, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, the title of my message, believe it or not, is What Matters Most. And I believe what matters most is where we are going to spend eternity. Every second, there are seven people that pass, I'm told, statistically, into eternity. And we can keep clicking and there's a whole bunch of people that are passed out in eternity. By the close of today, over 600,000 people will have passed out into eternity. And you know, in a million years from now, which will be a blink of an eye when we're in eternity, and we will just be enjoying being in the presence of our Saviour, I want to catch up with D.L. Moody and I want to have a chat with him. And I want to have a chat with Spurgeon and all these people that I just know about. And I got all of eternity to do that. But in a million years from now, the size of your house and the car you have and the job you have and all those possessions that we have are going to be meaningless. Did you know that? They won't matter a thing. The thing that is going to matter the most is what is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ today. Scripture tells me, Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die. If you don't believe anything else I say this morning, you believe that. But then the bad news comes. But after that, the judgment. Whether you believe me or not, you know what? Doesn't really matter. Because our perception of what truth is not always accurate. And how we see things is not accurate. But what I do know is that Jesus did die on a cross, historically, 2,000 years ago. And we will either go to a place called heaven or a place called hell. The banquet that we have been invited to, someone had to pay the price for you to come and partake in that banquet. That someone was the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price, as it says here, talking about thirsting and wine and milk. From the cross, Jesus cried, it is finished. The work was complete. There was nothing left to pay. It was open for the banquet to invite all to come. And we're all invited. No one is excluded. Here is an open invitation. Your debt has been fully paid. And I'm inviting you this morning to come to the banquet without money to enjoy all that Jesus offers you. I meet people who deny the presence of God because you know why? If they acknowledge that He is there, then they know that they have to give up their sin. I witness to gay people. I don't talk to them about their homosexuality. I only have to talk to them about their sin. The Holy Spirit does the work there. But people love their sin and therefore they deny God. They deny the presence of God. There are other people that say to me, I don't worship the same God you worship. And I say, yeah, I can understand that. Because they create a God to suit themselves. In the second of the Ten Commandments, they form a God that is not the God that we worship. They create an image of something that is not God. Now this morning, if you have an incorrect image of God, listen to some of the things, take it in, look in the scriptures, and it clearly points us to the Lord Jesus. This morning, if we call on the name of the Lord and believe in Him and repent and we put our faith and trust in Him, I'm conscious of the time, but it's okay. One thing as I just close, if you were on board an old-fashioned plane and had a parachute up there, you know what? You could sit there, you could sing to the parachute if you wanted to. You could pray to the parachute. You could do whatever you like. But it wouldn't do a thing for you. The only time that parachute does anything for you is when you take it and you put the parachute on. You make that parachute yours, and then when you jump from the plane, it's going to save you. This morning, when you take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you put your faith and trust in Him. But we need to repent. Scripture talks about repentance. It says, for godly sorrow leads to repentance, which leads to eternal life. But worldly sorrow leads to death. And the only reason we talk about worldly sorrow is because we don't like being caught. You know, we might hit someone and then we say, oh, I'm sorry. Then we hit them again and we say, I'm sorry. We hit them again, but we're just sorry we're caught. We're not really sorry at all. God says that if you want to come to know Him, you need to repent and have godly sorrow. You need to be sorry for your sin. And there needs to be a change of direction and a change of attitude. And then we put our faith and our trust in who the Lord Jesus is. So, final words, Scripture says, for by grace are we saved through faith, yet not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. So it's not anything we can do. I can't cut God's grass every Saturday morning and expect that He's going to take me into heaven because I'm a good guy and I do good things. There is nothing that is worthy in me at all. It is only Jesus that has paid the price and paid that penalty for us. So let's have a word of prayer. Let's just bow our heads. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that the Holy Spirit, even now, would be speaking to us. Father, if there is one among us who is one who would name the Lord Jesus as his Lord and Savior or her Lord and Savior, but Father is far from you, may be guilty of some of the things we described this morning. Lord God, may you do a work in their life. But Father, this morning there may be one here or more who know not the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that you would speak to them, that you would challenge them, and that, Lord, that they would this morning want to do business with you to come to know our Lord and Savior. Father, challenge them, we pray, and we pray all of these things now in and through Jesus' name. Amen.